Welcome to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and today we're looking at a catastrophic failure in the commercial space race, as well as a growing trend of tech veterans walking away from the industry entirely.
It's one of those weeks where the contrast is really stark. On one hand, you have companies pouring billions into cutting-edge orbital mechanics and artificial intelligence, and on the other, you have the people building these systems saying, "Actually, I think I'd rather just move to a commune."
It really is a strange dichotomy. We are pushing the boundaries of what technology can achieve, but the human toll of that acceleration is becoming impossible to ignore. Today's stories really capture both ends of that spectrum.
We've got a rocket exploding on the pad, a high-profile open-source developer retiring to live offline, a messy corporate dispute over a massive Lego collection, and a quick update on Anthropic's AI roadmap.
There's a lot of ground to cover, so let's dive right in. Let's start with some major news out of the space sector. Blue Origin suffered a catastrophic failure during a static fire test of its New Glenn rocket. This happened on Thursday, May 28th, 2026, at around 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right on the pad at Launch Complex 36 at the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. The vehicle completely exploded.
The one piece of good news here is that there were no injuries reported, and all personnel were accounted for following the explosion. But for the hardware, it is in total loss. Jeff Bezos put out a statement shortly after, saying, "It's too early to know the root cause, but we're already working to find it. Very rough day, but we'll rebuild whatever needs rebuilding and get back to flying. It's worth it."
It's a stark reminder of how unforgiving orbital mechanics and rocket development can be. This particular New Glenn rocket wasn't just a test article destined for a museum. It was actively preparing for a planned launch of Amazon's Project Kuiper low Earth orbit satellites, which was scheduled for just a few days later, on June 4th. That payload timeline is obviously out the window now.
And regarding regulatory oversight, the Federal Aviation Administration confirmed that the static fire test was not within the scope of its licensed launch activities, and they stated there was no impact to commercial air traffic. Static fires often fall under different ground operations protocols rather than full flight licenses, but the FAA will undoubtedly be involved in reviewing the incident and the subsequent investigation.
The broader context here is what makes this explosion so critical. Blue Origin is not operating in a vacuum. They are locked in a fierce, high-stakes competition with SpaceX for major NASA contracts, most notably the Artemis Lunar Program. Blue Origin is contracted to build the Blue Moon Lander, and the New Glenn rocket is the foundational launch vehicle for their entire long-term architecture.
Exactly. If New Glenn isn't flying reliably, the Blue Moon Lander isn't getting to space. And this isn't an isolated incident. Just last month, in April 2026, there was another mission anomaly with the New Glenn program that resulted in a temporary grounding of the vehicle. Having a second major anomaly, this time a catastrophic loss on the pad, raises serious questions about the vehicle's current design maturity and their testing procedures.
When you compare this to SpaceX's iterative testing approach with Starship, it's a very different philosophy. SpaceX expects early test articles to explode. They build that into their timeline and their manufacturing cadence. Blue Origin has traditionally taken a much slower, more deliberate approach, aiming for things to work perfectly on the first try. When a vehicle built under that philosophy explodes on the pad, it's a much more significant setback.
It definitely hurts their momentum. NASA is relying heavily on commercial partners to make the Artemis lunar missions a reality. The agency has already faced criticism for the complexity and cost of the Artemis architecture. If one of their two primary lunar lander providers is facing years of delays because their heavy lift rocket is blowing up during routine static fires, that puts an immense amount of pressure on the entire Artemis timeline.
And we have to consider the financial and strategic impact on Amazon as well. Project Kuiper is supposed to be Amazon's answer to Starlink. They have federal deadlines to deploy a certain percentage of their constellation by specific dates to keep their spectrum licenses. Losing a launch vehicle this close to a deployment mission means they either have to scramble to buy flights on other rockets, which are already fully booked, or risk missing those regulatory deadlines.
It's a cascading failure of schedules. The root cause investigation is going to take months at a minimum. They have to comb through all the telemetry, examine the physical debris, and figure out exactly which valve, pump, or structural component failed. Until they know what went wrong and implement a fix, New Glenn is grounded.
We also need to talk about the engines. New Glenn relies on the BE-4 engines, which are fueled by liquid oxygen and liquefied natural gas. These are the same engines that United Launch Alliance is using for their Vulcan Centaur rocket. If the root cause of this explosion is traced back to a fundamental flaw in the BE-4 engine design, rather than a ground support equipment failure, that could ground Vulcan as well.
That's an excellent point. ULA's Vulcan is critical for national security space launches. If the BE-4 is implicated, this single explosion at Cape Canaveral suddenly becomes a national security issue, delaying spy satellites and military payloads. The interdependency of the modern aerospace supply chain means a failure for Blue Origin could ripple across the entire industry.
We don't have evidence yet that the engine was the culprit, but it's the first place investigators will look. Static fires are designed to test the plumbing, the pressurization, and the ignition sequence of those engines, while holding the vehicle firmly to the ground. If something overpressurized or a turbopump failed catastrophically, it would shred the aft section of the rocket in milliseconds.
And rebuilding Launch Complex 36 won't be trivial either. An explosion of a heavy lift rocket on the pad doesn't just destroy the vehicle. It melts the concrete, obliterates the sound suppression water systems, and destroys the umbilical towers. They aren't just rebuilding a rocket. They have to reconstruct the launch infrastructure before they can even attempt another test.
The pressure on the engineering teams at Blue Origin right now must be immense. They're trying to field a heavy lift rocket with reusable first stages, competing against a rival that has already mastered that technology and is moving on to fully reusable super heavy systems. Every delay for Blue Origin just widens that gap.
It will be interesting to see how transparent they are about the investigation. Sometimes companies keep these anomaly reports heavily guarded under export control and proprietary technology protections. But given the public nature of the failure and their ties to NASA, there will be demands for a clear explanation of what happened at Launch Complex 36. As Bezos said, they will rebuild. But the timeline for when we will actually see a New Glenn reach orbit has just been pushed significantly to the right.
Moving on to a story that's been dominating Hacker News and tech forums over the past few days, Chad Whitaker, the former head of open source at Sentry, has published a post titled, "I Am Retiring from Tech to Live Offline." He's leaving the software industry entirely to move to a commune in Vermont.
Whitaker isn't just a random developer. He's a veteran of the open source sustainability movement. A lot of listeners will recognize him as the person who launched GitTIP back in 2012, which was a pioneering platform for funding open source developers. He spent over a decade trying to build systems that support the human element of software engineering.
In his announcement, he claims that he has not used a smartphone or the internet in his personal life since February 6th, 2026. He says he's completely disconnecting. And the catalyst for this dramatic lifestyle change? He specifically cites the rise of artificial intelligence as the last straw that drove him out of the industry.
That last straw comment is really what struck a nerve online. We've been talking a lot about tech burnout on this show, but this feels like a distinct evolution of it. It's not just the standard exhaustion from long hours or pager duty, it's a deep alienation from the fundamental direction the industry is heading. A feeling that building software just isn't what it used to be.
Exactly. When you look at the Hacker News threads discussing his retirement, there's a massive outpouring of sympathy and shared frustration. Veteran engineers are expressing this profound sense of grief over the current state of tech. The transition from building tools that empower human creativity to building autonomous agents that replace human tasks has left a lot of people feeling ethically and creatively hollowed out.
But of course, the internet being the internet, there's also a fair amount of skepticism. Critics have pointed out that while Whitaker claims to be living offline, he is still maintaining an online presence to broadcast this retirement. He's been posting on platforms like Blue Sky and even publishing YouTube videos about his departure. Right, which immediately invites accusations that the whole thing is performative.
The argument is, if you're truly disconnecting and moving to a commune in Vermont, why do you need to manage a farewell tour across multiple social media platforms? It creates a bit of cognitive dissonance when someone uses the very tools they claim to be abandoning in order to maximize the audience for their exit.
I think it's possible for both things to be true. The public rollout might be a bit contradictory, but the underlying sentiment of his departure is genuine and reflects a systemic issue. It's really hard to cleanly extract yourself from a digitally mediated life, especially when your entire professional identity and social network have been built online for 20 years.
And we have to look at what it means when people who championed open source sustainability are the ones walking away. The open source ethos was built on collaboration, human ingenuity, and shared knowledge. Now, those same open source repositories are primarily viewed as training data for large language models. The shift from a community of peers to a resource extraction model for AI companies is a bitter pill for the old guard to swallow.
It completely changes the incentive structure. If you spend your weekends carefully crafting a library to solve a specific problem, and an AI model just ingests it and regurgitates the logic without attribution or context, the joy of craftsmanship disappears. Whitaker's departure feels symbolic of that loss of agency.
It also raises questions about the future talent pipeline. If the most experienced, principled engineers are fleeing the industry because they find the current paradigm toxic, who is left to build and audit these systems? We're losing institutional knowledge and the ethical frameworks that these veterans brought to their work.
It's a brain drain driven by ideology rather than compensation. Tech companies are used to retaining talent by throwing money at them, offering higher salaries and better stock options. But if the core issue is that the work itself feels meaningless or actively harmful, all the equity in the world won't convince someone to stay.
You can't outpay an existential crisis. And Whitaker's move to a commune in Vermont is the ultimate rejection of the hyper-capitalist, scale-at-all-costs mentality of Silicon Valley. He's trading asynchronous stand-ups and pull requests for physical labor and immediate, tangible community.
It will be fascinating to see if this remains an isolated, high-profile case, or if it sparks a wider movement of tech professionals seeking analog lives. As AI models become more capable and the day-to-day reality of software engineering becomes increasingly abstract, the appeal of chopping wood and growing vegetables might only get stronger.
It's the modern version of going back to the land. We'll see how long the digital detox lasts, but for now, Whitaker has successfully sparked a much-needed conversation about what we are actually building and who it is serving.
First up, a bizarre dispute in the retail world. A man named Brian Mansell consigned a Star Wars Lego collection, which he valued between $100,000 and $200,000, to a Bricks and Minifigs franchise in Salem, Oregon, back in November 2023.
But in 2024, the corporate parent repossessed the store due to the franchisee's financial defaults. Corporate is now claiming that consignment violates their operations manual and was an unauthorized private arrangement between Mansell and the former owner.
They say they only found about $2,000 to $5,000 worth of his inventory, offered it back, and he refused. Now there's a viral social media campaign and a GoFundMe for his legal fees.
It's a messy nightmare scenario that perfectly highlights the legal firewall between corporate entities and local franchisees, leaving the consumer completely stranded when things go under.
Next, a quick follow-up to our deep dive yesterday on Anthropic's release of the Claude Opus 4.8 model.
Right. While we covered the new features like effort control and dynamic workflows, Axios has now confirmed that Anthropic is planning to release a much more powerful Mythos class model in the coming weeks.
That context is crucial. It frames Opus 4.8 less as a generational flagship release and more as a tactical stopgap to maintain market momentum while they prep their true successor.
Exactly. We'll be keeping a close eye on that launch window to see what Mythos actually brings to the table.
And that's all for today's briefing. Thanks for joining us as we navigate the ever-changing landscape of tech, space, and AI.
Be sure to check the show notes for links to all the stories we covered today. We'll be back tomorrow with more analysis.
Until then,
Stay curious.